This is The Growth Journey. Real life, real growth, divinely inspired, where military discipline meets a ministry heart. With 40 years of life-shaping experience, including 22 years on active duty, and a deep calling to ministry, David Averett, CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach Nationwide, shares spirit-led wisdom and practical tools to transform your life. He's also the author of an ebook on growth, bringing even more insight to help you flourish in faith, marriage, leadership, character, church, and business. Ready for divinely inspired results? Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Okay, let's get into this. There's this this search that so many of us go on, right? It's really personal, sometimes kind of challenging. Finding that place, you know, that spiritual home where you truly feel anchored.
Yeah, like the place that just feels right. Nurtures your spirit, connects you to something bigger.
Exactly. And it's a question that I think resonates with just countless people today. We're all sort of navigating this complex world, looking for that sense of belonging, maybe purpose, rooted in faith.
It really is.
Yeah.
And with so many options out there, so much information, and frankly, just a lot of noise, trying to figure out where to connect spiritually, It can feel pretty overwhelming.
Totally. How do you choose? What are you even supposed to look for, you know, to make sure you're landing somewhere that's genuinely healthy, grounded in the Bible, and actually a good fit for your journey?
Those are the big questions.
Exactly. And that's precisely what we're diving into today. We've got this remarkable guide in front of us. It's provided by Chaplain David Averett, who's the CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach.
Oh.
And he's put together something really insightful, I think. It's kind of blends his huge amount of personal experience, decades of life and ministry, with really clear, direct guidance drawn right from scripture.
So it's not just theory then. It's wisdom that's been like tested in the real world.
That's the feel I get. Yeah. Applied through the lens of faith.
And what sounds really valuable about this guide is that it doesn't just start in like a vacuum. Chaplain David actually grounds the discussion by looking at what's happening now. He brings in findings from a recent internet survey.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it gives us a kind of snapshot of what people today say they prioritize when they're actually out there looking for a church.
Okay, so that gives us a starting point, like the current landscape of what people are looking for, or at least what they think they're looking for.
Exactly. It sets the stage.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive is basically to unpack this guide. We're going to explore Chaplain David's perspective, which is rooted in both his pretty unique life experience and his deep commitment to scripture.
And see how it lines up or maybe pushes back against those survey findings.
Exactly. The whole goal is to help you, the listener, think through what really matters in finding a church. One that not only aligns with the biblical truth, and the guide really stresses that's paramount, but also genuinely supports your unique spiritual journey, hopefully guiding you towards a place where you can, you know, thrive and contribute.
So it's about cutting through the noise, getting informed without feeling totally swamped.
Yeah, getting informed quickly, thoroughly, and maybe finding those aha moments along the way.
Okay, sounds good. So where do we start with that survey you mentioned?
Perfect place to start. Let's look at what people are actually saying they want when they're, you know, church shopping, according to this internet survey the guide talks about.
Right. Lay it on us. What did the survey find?
Well, the data is pretty telling, actually. It gives us that baseline of what people expect or prioritize these days. So right at the very top, showing a really strong desire for substance, was the quality of sermons and biblical teaching. A huge 83% of the people surveyed said this was a top priority.
83%. Wow. That's a powerful sign, isn't it? That even with all the other stuff churches might offer, people are fundamentally looking for truth. They want teaching that's solid, relevant, you know, grounded in the Bible.
Absolutely. And following really closely behind that at 79% was the desire for a welcoming atmosphere from leaders.
Ah, interesting distinction. Not just generally welcoming, but specifically from the leadership.
Right. And that speaks volumes about that human need for belonging, doesn't it? When you walk into a new place, especially one where you're seeking spiritual connection, feeling genuinely welcomed by the people in charge. That's crucial. It kind of signals whether you'll feel accepted, seen.
Yeah, it's that initial warmth, that approachability makes a big difference. Then the survey showed that the style of services matters to a lot of people, 74%.
Okay, and style could mean a lot of things, right? Music.
Exactly. Could be music hymns versus contemporary worship. Could be the overall flow, the feel of the service, maybe even how formal or informal it is. Lots of things fall under style.
And practicality definitely plays a role, too. A convenient location was important to 70%.
Well, yeah. Life is busy. Logistics are real. If it's hard to get to, it's hard to attend regularly. That makes sense.
And for families, this won't be a surprise. The survey clearly showed that children's and youth programs are a major factor. That was important to 56% of those surveyed.
Understandably so. Parents want their kids in a place that's safe, nurturing, engaging, where they can actually learn about faith in a way that connects with them.
Definitely. And beyond just the formal programs, those community connections also mattered. 48% mentioned having friends or family already in the congregation as being important.
Yeah, that makes it easier, doesn't it? If you already know people, it lowers that barrier to entry. Gives you an immediate sense of connection, someone to sit with.
For sure. And lastly, the chance to actually do something mattered too. Volunteering opportunities were important to 42%.
So people aren't just looking to sit and receive. Many want to get involved, use their time, their talents, serve others. That desire for purpose.
Right. The survey also pointed to just the overall ease of connection and community being significant. It's not just about the individual programs, but the whole relational vibe, you know?
Yeah.
How easy is it to actually plug in and feel like you belong?
That's a good summary of the data points.
Yeah.
Now, Chaplain David Averitt in the guide, he makes a really sharp observation about all this survey data.
Okay. Oh, what's this take?
He notes that while a church's online presence, you know, the website, social media, maybe live stream services, that might be the first place someone looks, the thing that initiates the search.
Right, the first click.
Exactly. But the ultimate decision, the thing that leads to long-term commitment to a church, that's based on much deeper stuff.
So the online world opens the door, but it's the reality inside that makes you want to stay. What does he say commitment is based on then?
According to the guide, it boils down to four key things. Biblical faithfulness is the teaching solid. Authentic community, are the relationships real? Genuine welcome, really emphasizing the genuine part there, not just superficial friendliness, and opportunities for participation and service ways to actually get involved.
Biblical faithfulness, authentic community, genuine welcome, and participation service.
Okay. And what's fascinating, if you think about it, is how these survey points connect back to really fundamental human needs.
How so?
Well, think about it. The need for truth. Clearly addressed by prioritizing quality sermons and biblical teaching. That deep need for belonging, for acceptance, met by a welcoming atmosphere, real community, having friends there.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Practical needs are reflected in things like the service style fitting, a good location, programs for kids, and that desire for purpose, for making a difference, that finds an outlet in volunteering and participation.
That's a really helpful way to frame it. It's not just a random checklist of features people want. They're often, maybe without realizing it, looking for places that address these core human needs, but through a spiritual lens.
Precisely. And looking at this survey through that lens raises a good question for you, the listener, to think about. When you consider looking for a church, or maybe you are looking right now, what are your absolute top priorities when you strip away the surface stuff? How do your priorities stack up against this survey data? Are they more about the practical things or the theological depth, the programs or the people and the community? Just reflecting on that could bring some real clarity to your search.
That's a really good point for reflection. Definitely something to chew on as we keep digging into Chaplain David Averitt's guide.
Okay, so after setting the stage with that survey data, the guide then transitions. It introduces the author, Chaplain David Averitt himself, and lays the groundwork for his perspective.
Right. And Chaplain David, as the founder of CA Jail Outreach, he's in a really unique spot to tackle those big questions we started with. Where should you go to church? What should you look for to really feed your soul and line up with God's word? He's seen faith make a huge difference, often in really tough situations.
And he brings this incredibly rich and quite distinct background to the table. He's been actively involved in helping churches grow, involved in different ministries basically his whole life. So he has this deep hands-on understanding of how local churches work, what people need spiritually.
And this is where his military experience adds such a unique layer. Chaplain David mentions his father served 20 years in the military, and he himself spent 22 years as a military leader.
22 years, wow.
Yeah, and it's really important, he makes this clear in the guide, he was not a military chaplain during that time. His leadership was in a standard military role. His chaplaincy work is what he does now in the jail system.
Okay, good clarification. Military leader, not chaplain then.
Right, but those 22 years leading in the military meant he moved around. a lot. And that gave him this unparalleled chance to attend a huge variety of churches, different communities, different states, maybe even different countries, depending on his assignments.
You know, that kind of broad exposure, seeing how all sorts of different congregations operate, what makes them healthy, what makes them struggle across so many different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
That's just invaluable insight. Lets him see patterns, principles that go beyond just one specific place or denomination.
Totally. And he shares a pretty candid observation, too, about pastors leaving churches. He says that while the reason given is often, you know, following God's will, Mr. Everett's observation, based on watching this happen for decades, is that it's frequently driven by other factors, things like better pay, maybe moving to a larger, more prestigious congregation, or getting increased notoriety, bigger platforms elsewhere.
Oof. That's a pretty sobering take, isn't it?
Yeah.
It points to the very real human side, the pressures that can exist within church leadership, sometimes maybe clouding the stated spiritual reasons for a move.
It does. But the core purpose of his guide, Chaplain David makes this really clear, isn't to tell you this is the only right church or this is the only right way.
Yeah.
He fully acknowledges God gives us free will, the responsibility to choose.
So it's not a rule book.
Not at all. Instead, his goal is to offer clear, biblically grounded direction, like a framework to help you in your discernment process. Whether you're looking for deep theology or maybe a place for healing or just spiritual fulfillment, the guide is meant to be like a compass, helping you find a church that truly aligns with God's calling for your life.
And he invites you to engage with it critically.
Exactly. He says you're invited to embrace these principles, question them, even discard them as you pray and figure out your own path. It's very much an invitation, not a prescription.
That approach is key, I think. It empowers the reader.
And he really highlights why going to church is vitally important. It's not just, you know, a nice suggestion in the Bible. He presents it as essential for spiritual health and growth.
He particularly emphasizes its importance for certain groups.
Yeah.
Yes, especially for those seeking help, like people navigating life after being involved with the justice system or families who have a loved one incarcerated. For them, he stresses, a supportive, biblically faithful church community can offer just immense spiritual comfort, healing, and practical help during incredibly tough times. So this guide is for everyone, but it really resonates for those who faced major life challenges.
That makes sense, given his work with CAJL Outreach.
Definitely. He also lays out the structure of the guide really clearly, which helps us understand his whole approach. He's put together this list of essential things to look for, but he makes a very careful and important distinction throughout.
Okay, what's the distinction?
He labels things either my input or scripture's input. My input is the insights drawn from his extensive experience, those 22 years as a military leader, decades in churches and ministries.
So his seasoned wisdom, basically.
Exactly. And then scripture's input is what he believes is drawn directly, undeniably, from God's word itself.
Okay. So personal experience versus biblical mandate. That's a crucial distinction.
It really is. That framework runs through the whole guide. He's basically saying, here's what I've learned from being on the ground, but always balancing it with, and more importantly, here's what the Bible says.
Got it. That helps understand how to read it. Now, you mentioned he emphasizes two primary concerns.
Yes. Right in the introduction, he flags two primary concerns that he feels are just critical, and they pop up again later in the guide.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is that a church needs to prioritize being a true church, really focus on its core biblical mission, especially on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. He voices concern about churches relying on constant gimmicks or distractions that might pull focus from the holiness and purpose of the Sunday gathering.
So he thinks Sunday should be set apart.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
He believes Sunday should be holy, primarily dedicated to genuine worship and the clear, unadulterated teaching of God's word. Now, he's not against creative outreach. He thinks it can be good and beneficial. But he suggests maybe scheduling those things on other days, like a Saturday or a Friday night, to keep Sunday focused and reverent.
Interesting. So the main Sunday gathering's prime purpose isn't necessarily outreach or attraction through novelty, but worship and feeding the flock already there.
That seems to be his perspective, yeah. Worship, word, fellowship. His second primary concern really zooms in on the pastor's role and dedication.
Okay, what about the pastor?
He believes a pastor needs to be wholly dedicated to their specific congregation, actively tending to the flock that is among you. He really hammers this point home using 1 Peter 5, verse 2.
Remind us what that says.
It instructs the elders, the pastors, to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. That phrase, among you, is key for him.
So he's concerned about pastors maybe spreading themselves too thin or focusing elsewhere.
Exactly. He has a strong view against pastors whose main energy or focus seems directed towards ministry activities outside of the specific local church congregation that they are called to shepherd and, frankly, paid to shepherd.
Okay. And he connects this to his background.
He does, using a really powerful analogy from his military career. Chaplain David argues that if a pastor feels called to preach elsewhere often or engage in significant ministry outside their local church duties, they should do it on their own time, like vacation time, and without using the local church's money or resources. No church credit cards for outside gigs, basically.
And the military connection.
He explains that during his 22 years as a military leader, if he wanted to do something beyond his assigned duties for his specific unit, he had to use his personal leave time, his vacation days, or maybe even go without pay for that period. He absolutely could not use government funds, taxpayer money for personal trips or engagements outside his official military mission and assigned location.
Ah, the stewardship principle. Yeah. Your resources are for your assigned mission.
Precisely. He argues it's the same for pastors and the local church's finances. Pastors are called to be faithful stewards of the money and resources God provides for that specific local church. The tithes, the offerings that's meant for the ministry and needs of that congregation.
So using church funds or paid time for extensive outside ministry is, in his view,
a misuse of that sacred trust and those specific resources. He feels strongly that pastors need to steward God's provision for their local flock. Not squander tithe money or misuse church credit cards on activities that don't directly benefit the people they are paid to serve.
That military analogy, the focus on your specific unit, your assigned responsibility, your allocated resources, it really crystallizes his view on pastoral focus and presence, doesn't it?
It really does. Your primary duty, your energy, the resources you manage, they are for the people right there, the flock God put among you.
Okay. Those are two pretty significant concerns he flags up front.
They are. He also mentions, just as a side note, that his personal preference is the King James Version of the Bible.
Okay.
But he immediately follows up by saying, if you use a different translation, that's totally fine. His goal isn't to debate translations, but to help you find a church that aligns with your biblically informed beliefs and God's call for you.
That's good. Keeps the focus on the bigger picture.
Yeah, it sets a helpful, kind of inclusive tone.
So thinking about this whole introduction, it's really striking how much Mr. Averett's 22 years as a military leader shaped his view. That background gives him this strong sense of mission, structure, accountability.
The absolute importance of being present, being dedicated to your specific group, whether it was his military company or now, as he applies it, a church congregation. That emphasis on the pastor's dedication and physical presence really seems rooted in that leadership experience.
It provides a framework of accountability, focused stewardship, responsibility for the people directly under your care.
Exactly. Your energy, your resources, they're for the flock right in front of you.
And reflecting on this, for you, the listener, how do these two primary concerns from Chaplain David resonate? Does that idea of Sunday being distinct and focused on worship feel important? How much does a pastor's physical presence and dedication specifically to the local church matter to you? Do his observations about why pastors move maybe feel familiar or perhaps challenging based on what you've seen?
It definitely gives you a lot to think about, doesn't it? Moving beyond just surface preferences to think about the deeper function, the leadership structure, the core mission of a church.
It really does. Okay, so from that foundation, Chaplain David's background, his core concerns, that key distinction between my input and Scripture's input, the guide then shifts gears. It moves squarely into the Scripture's input section.
Great. This is where it lays out what the Bible itself says the church is supposed to be. Going beyond personal takes or modern surveys, it's painting the picture of the church not just as a place for a service, but as this vibrant living community built on God's own blueprint.
Exactly. This is focusing on the non-negotiables, according to the guide, the fundamental characteristics of the church as God describes it in his word.
So what's the first point from Scripture?
The very essence, a gathering of believers. The absolute core idea is simply people who trust in Jesus coming together in his name. The guide quotes Matthew 18, verse 20,
which says,
"For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them."
Okay. That's foundational. It emphasizes that Christ's presence is right there, even with the smallest group. It means church isn't really about the building or the programs or even the crowd size.
Right. It's about the shared faith, the shared purpose, with Christ right at the center.
But it's not just any gathering, right?
No, exactly. The next point is that this gathering should be rooted in apostolic doctrine and fellowship. The model here is the early church, described in Acts. The guide quotes Acts 2, verse 42.
Let's hear that one.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers.
Steadfastly. So consistently, devotedly. Gathering around the teaching passed down from the apostles, which we have now in the Bible, and genuine fellowship. Sharing meals, praying, doing life together.
That's it. So a healthy church, based on this, has to prioritize both solid biblical teaching and that real, authentic community.
Okay. Doctrine and fellowship. What's next in the biblical blueprint?
Well, that community needs guidance. So the third point is that the church should be led by godly leaders. Scripture is pretty clear about the qualifications needed for those who shepherd the flock.
The guide points to Titus.
Yes, it references Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. That passage outlines key characteristics for elders or pastors. Things like being blameless, hospitable, sober-minded, just wholly self-controlled.
And crucially.
Crucially, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So, holding firm to the truth and being able to teach it effectively.
Leadership matters a lot. The character, the maturity, the commitment to biblical truth of the leaders that's presented here is essential for the church's health, its ability to teach truth and stand firm.
Absolutely. And another defining mark of a biblical church is being committed to love and service. Jesus himself said this would be the main identifier of his followers.
The guide quotes John 13 here.
It does. John 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another."
By this, that love for one another, that's the sign. And the guide emphasizes this love isn't just internal, right?
Yeah.
Among members.
Right. A true church shows this love outwardly, too, by serving the community, caring for those in need. It specifically highlights caring for the marginalized.
Like in Hebrews.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quotes Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 3. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity." That call to remember those in bonds, those in prison, connects directly to Chaplain David's ministry focus, of course.
Yeah, powerful connection there. Okay, what's the final piece of this biblical blueprint?
Being focused on discipleship and growth. The Great Commission, Jesus' final command in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, wasn't just about making converts, but making disciples.
"Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you."
Exactly. Teaching them to observe, to obey.
Mm-hmm.
So a healthy church, according to the scriptural model, is a place where believers are actively equipped, challenged, and helped to grow spiritually, to understand and live out Christ's commands, to mature in their faith.
It needs to provide ways for that ongoing growth and transformation to happen.
That's the idea. That's the biblical blueprint presented in the guide.
Okay, let's pause here for a second and think. How does this biblical blueprint gathering doctrine, fellowship, leaders, love, service, discipleship, how does this compare back to that initial survey data, what people said they wanted?
That's a really interesting comparison to make. There are clear overlaps, for sure. The survey showed people strongly prioritize quality sermons that lines up perfectly with apostolic doctrine. And they want a welcoming atmosphere, community that connects directly to fellowship and love and service.
So it seems people are maybe instinctively searching for things that are core biblical elements, the need for truth, the need for belonging.
It seems that way. But then the survey also ranked things like the style of service, very high convenient location, specific programs like for kids.
And those aren't explicitly part of this core biblical blueprint of what the church is fundamentally.
Right. Those things are more about the experience or the practicality of how that biblical blueprint gets lived out in a particular place and time. They influence where you might go or how you experience church, but they aren't the absolute essence of what the church must be, according to these scriptures.
That's a helpful distinction, the foundational what versus the practical how or where.
And notice some other core biblical elements like godly leadership qualifications, deep discipleship focus, or active witnessing and evangelism. While maybe hinted at in sermons or community, they didn't pop up as distinct top-ranking priorities in that initial survey data in the same way.
That difference between the biblical foundation and maybe modern preferences, It's insightful. It kind of challenges us, doesn't it? To think about whether our personal preferences might sometimes overshadow these essential biblical aspects of what a church should be.
It does. And it leads to another important question for you, the listener, to reflect on personally. Looking at this biblical blueprint, the gathering, the doctrine, fellowship, leaders, love, service, discipleship, growth, which of these feel most critical, most compelling, most non-negotiable to you as you search for a spiritual home?
Yeah. What are you really looking for at that deepest, most biblically grounded level? Good question.
Okay, so building on that solid biblical foundation, Chaplain David Averitt's guide then shifts into more practical, hands-on questions, things you can actually ask and look for when you visit different churches.
This is where the rubber meets the road, translating the principles into things you can observe.
Exactly. And the section nicely blends both the scripture's input, grounding the practical points in the Bible, and my input, adding that seasoned wisdom from his own extensive experience.
Okay, so what's the first practical question the guide suggests we ask?
First up is the Bible they use and how it's taught. This has elements of both scripture and his input. You need to notice which translation they use. And again, while Chaplain David prefers KJV, he says, use what helps you. But way more importantly, you need to figure out how the teaching is actually grounded in scripture.
Is the pastor constantly going back to the Bible, explaining it, applying it faithfully?
Yes. And Chaplain David Averitt is quoted directly here, really emphasizing this. The Word of God is our ultimate guide.
Yeah.
A church that truly honors God will build everything upon its unshakable foundation.
And he warns against.
He warns, be wary of churches where sermons focus more on personal opinions, trending topics, or feel-good anecdotes than on the unchanging, powerful Word of God.
So it's about substance over style, fidelity over just being engaging. Is the teaching truly biblical?
And does it change you? Is it convicting? Does it challenge you to grow, confront sin, live differently? Good teaching shouldn't just inform, it should transform.
Okay, solid first point. What's the second area to look at?
Community engagement and service. This is presented mainly as scripture's input. Does the church actually demonstrate Christian love outside its own walls?
Are they helping the poor, assisting the sick? And the guide specifically mentions supporting those in the jail or prison system.
Yes. It encourages looking for tangible proof outreach projects, service initiatives, because this is presented as a clear biblical mandate, not just an optional extra activity.
And the guide backs this up with scripture.
Definitely. It quotes James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Visiting those in affliction.
And powerfully connecting to Chaplain David's own ministry, it highlights Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40, especially focusing on caring for the imprisoned. Jesus says, for I was in prison and ye came unto me. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me.
Wow. So caring for the marginalized, including the incarcerated, is seen as caring for Jesus himself.
That's the clear implication. It's not just social work. It's ministry to Christ. The guide also asks if they consistently care for the poor, those down on their luck, referencing Old Testament principles from Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 to 8, and Proverbs 19, verse 17.
And crucially, does the church provide ways for you to get involved in serving?
Yes. A healthy biblical church, the guide argues, empowers its members. It helps them use their gifts and talents to serve God and others, both inside the church and out in the community.
Okay. Bible teaching, community service. What's third?
Third practical question is about their belief in salvation. This is flagged as Scripture's input, and it's absolutely foundational. Does the church clearly teach and affirm salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone?
This is non-negotiable, right? The core of the gospel.
Absolutely. The guide points to key passages like Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works.
And Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved.
And of course, John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. A faithful church, the guide insists, will consistently and clearly articulate this central truth. Salvation is through Christ, not our own efforts.
Clear enough. What's number four?
Number four is the practice of baptism, again marked as Scripture's input. You need to understand their stance on baptism. How do they understand it? How do they practice it? Do they see it as an obedient step for believers?
And the biblical basis?
Scriptures mentioned include Matthew 28, verse 19, part of the Great Commission, baptizing disciples, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, and Romans 6, verse 4, baptism as being buried and raised with Christ.
So it's important to understand their view, like, do they practice infant baptism or believer's baptism? What about the mode, immersion, or sprinkling? Just to make sure it aligns with your own understanding of Scripture.
Exactly. Understanding their position is key. Fifth area to consider is discipleship and spiritual growth, another Scripture's input point.
Does the church intentionally help believers mature? Are there programs, mentorship, small groups, Bible studies?
Right. Does it actively fulfill that part of the Great Commission about teaching believers to observe all that Jesus commanded? The guide references Matthew 28, verse 20 again, also John 8, verses 31 through 32. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And 2, Timothy 2, verse 2, passing on truth to others who can teach.
And Chaplain David has a quote on this.
Yes, he's quoted emphasizing just how vital this is. Discipleship is the heartbeat of a thriving church. It's where spiritual transformation truly happens. It's where we move from simply hearing the word to truly living it out daily. He stresses it's about intentional relationships and learning, not just running programs.
Okay. Discipleship. What's number 6?
Number 6 is witnessing and evangelism. Scripture's input. Does the church actively share the gospel outside its walls, according to Scripture? And the emphasis here is that it's not just the pastor's job. The whole church should be engaged.
The mandate comes from Acts.
Acts 1, verse 8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. So you should look for signs that the church regularly encourages, equips, and actually does evangelism, reaching out beyond its existing members.
Makes sense. Okay, and the final point, number 7. You said this one gets significant attention.
It does. Point 7 is the pastor's role and presence. And this draws heavily from Chaplain David's personal perspective, labeled clearly as my input, though strongly supported by his interpretation of Scripture.
This brings us back to one of his primary concerns we discussed earlier.
Exactly. He asks, is the church looking to hire a pastor whose primary role is shepherding the flock? Or are they really looking for an evangelist or someone with a different primary gifting? He stresses the distinct roles God gives, pointing to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 12.
Which lists different roles like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers.
Right. And while someone might have multiple gifts, Chaplain David argues God calls people to primary roles for the church's health. A pastor's fundamental number one job, he says, is to feed the flock. He brings up 1 Peter 5, verse 2 again. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. And Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed unto all the flock to feed the church of God.
So if someone feels called more to evangelism, traveling, preaching widely.
Chaplain David acknowledges that's a legitimate calling from God. But he argues it's distinct from the ongoing day-in, day-out work of pastoring a specific local congregation. That involves deep shepherding, teaching, caring for the particular needs of that flock among you. You can't effectively be primarily both an itinerant evangelist and a local pastor for the same church at the same time, in his view.
And this is where that military analogy and the stewardship point come back strongly.
Very strongly. He reiterates, if a pastor wants to preach elsewhere extensively, fulfilling maybe an evangelistic gift, they should do it on their own time, vacation time, and using their own resources, not the church's.
Citing 1 Timothy 5:18, the laborer is worthy of his reward, but...
But the reward, the salary, is for the work they are employed to do for that specific church. The local church's money, its resources, its time, are dedicated to its specific ministry and caring for its members.
So using church funds or paid time for lots outside ministry
is seen as taking away from the primary responsibility and stewardship owed to the local congregation that provides those resources. Chaplain David is very direct here, saying churches need to get back to being a church and stop worrying about being a national pastor organization. He argues the New Testament model is focused on the local gathering. The pastor's energy, the church's resources, should primarily center on building up that local body.
And central to this is the pastor's actual presence.
Absolutely critical in his view. Even with technology, he believes the shepherd's physical presence among the sheep is irreplaceable for real care and leadership. You have to know your flock, be there for them in joys and sorrows.
That phrase, among you, from 1 Peter 5, verse 2, really drives this home for him. It implies closeness, availability, knowing people's lives.
It does. And this is where he shares that powerful military story again. Being deployed in Afghanistan, working hard, helping other units too, and his commander pulling him aside.
Remind us what the commander said.
He said essentially, thanks for helping the other unit, but I need your help with our company. Your unit needs you. I need you on the ground, in your office where they can reach you in person, not just phone or email. They are here for you and you only.
Wow, that really lands the point.
Chaplain David uses that to argue pastors should be the same, always present, not primarily through electronic devices. Being among the flock means physical proximity, direct personal care, the oversight mentioned in Acts 20, verse 28.
It's definitely a challenging view of pastoral ministry today, pushing back against maybe trends towards broader platforms or remote leadership. It forces you to think about dedication, focus, stewardship.
It does. And for you, the listener, how important is that consistent physical presence and clear dedication of a pastor, specifically to the local church you might join? Does that military analogy resonate with your own sense of what leadership and care should look like?
Lots to consider there. Okay, so beyond those seven core questions, the guide offers some other practical points, mostly under my input, right?
Yes. Additional observations, wisdom nuggets to keep in mind as you're looking. First, he circles back to something related to his primary concern about Sundays. Mind the gimmicks. Honoring the Lord's Day.
Okay, expanding on the Sunday service idea.
Right. He says, observe how the church approaches Sunday. Attracting visitors is good, but do things that feel more like entertainment or marketing stunts. Gimmicks detract from the holiness, the core purpose of the Lord's Day gathering.
He draws on that Old Testament principle of honoring God's holy day, setting it apart for worship, rest, reflection, like from Isaiah 58.
Exactly, that principle. His view is that Sunday's primary focus should be the essentials. Corporate worship, hearing and learning God's word without dilution, genuine fellowship, praying together.
And his practical suggestion is, if you want to do creative outreach or fun events,
schedule them on other days, Friday nights, Saturdays, midweek. That way, you can still engage creatively, but maintain a distinct, reverent atmosphere for the main Sunday worship gathering.
He has a quote summarizing this.
He does, and it's pretty direct. A church should be a spiritual hospital, not a carnival. While welcoming all, its primary function on the Lord's Day is to heal, teach, and equip through God's word, not distract with fleeting entertainment.
Spiritual hospital, not a carnival.
Yeah.
Memorable. Okay, what else in my input?
He touches briefly on home gatherings. He acknowledges they have a clear biblical basis. He cites Acts 2, verse 46, meeting temple and house to house, and mentions those churches in their house, passages in Paul's letters, Romans 16, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, Colossians 4, verse 15.
And he has personal experience with this model, too.
Yeah, he shares that his parents helped start churches in their garages back in Washington State. So he definitely sees the value in that simpler, maybe more intimate gathering style.
But he adds a caution.
A crucial one. While home gatherings can be great, you need to be careful. He warns specifically about unqualified people trying to lead, or groups forming because of unhealthy church splits or conflict, rather than a positive biblical mission.
So just like any church, a home gathering needs qualified leadership and a solid biblical foundation to be healthy. The setting isn't the main thing.
Exactly. It's about the substance, the leadership, the health of the relationships wherever you meet.
Okay. What else? Deeper investigation.
Yes. Beyond the visit. Deeper investigation.
My input.
Once you've visited maybe a few times, he suggests digging a bit deeper.
Like checking their website, social media.
Yeah. Does their online presence match what you saw in person? Does it reflect their stated values? It can offer more clues. Also, if they have a YouTube channel or stream services, watch some past ones. Get a broader feel for the teaching consistency, the worship style over time.
And he mentions looking at financial practices. My input. That can be sensitive.
It can be, but he suggests observing the emphasis. When they talk about giving, is the focus clearly on funding ministry, outreach, serving others, fulfilling the mission? Or does it seem more focused on big building projects, accumulating reserves, or internal stuff that doesn't obviously connect to outward service?
Referencing the biblical idea of cheerful giving, like from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7.
Right. Focusing on the heart and purpose. And Chaplain David Averett offers a quote here about what true church growth looks like in his view. True church growth isn't measured by the size of the building, but by the transformation of individual lives and the outpouring of Christ's love into the community.
That really reframes success away from just buildings and budgets towards changed lives and tangible love in action.
It does. Finally, in this My Input section, he includes a point on what people are looking for today. Insights and statistics. He revisits modern trends, noting that surveys consistently show people are seeking authenticity, real relational connection, strong teaching, like the first survey showed, kids programs, also seen before, community involvement, and meaningful worship.
So reinforcing some earlier points, but maybe highlighting that depth of connection and authenticity are really key for people now.
Exactly. And he wraps this section with another, quote, emphasizing the people aspect. A thriving church isn't just about programs. It's about people. It's the place where lives are transformed and where the love of Christ is, truly evident in every interaction.
Okay, so looking at all these My Input points, Sunday gimmicks, home gatherings, finances, modern trends, how do they tie back to the earlier stuff, the survey, and the scriptures input?
They act like practical commentary, really. Seasoned advice layered onto the foundation. His concern about Sunday gimmicks applies the biblical idea of honoring the day. His thoughts on home gatherings validate a biblical model, but add real-world cautions. The finance point reinforces biblical stewardship with a practical measure of success. Highlighting modern trends connects the timeless principles to today's search.
So it's taking the biblical foundation, filtering it through his decades of experience, and applying it to the practical process someone goes through now when looking for a church, offering a seasoned perspective.
Exactly, helping you evaluate things beyond just that first impression.
And this whole section raises one last question for you, the listener. Which of these practical insights from Chaplain David, his take on Sundays, home churches, finances, modern trends, which ones feel most relevant or maybe even surprising as you think about your own search?
It's definitely a lot to prayerfully process, isn't it? Moving from survey data to biblical mandates and then adding this layer of practical experience advice.
It really is. And our deep dive today has kind of walked us through that whole journey in Chaplain David Averitt's guide. We started with what people say they look for in those surveys.
Right, the contemporary context. Then we dug into the biblical blueprint, what scripture says the church should be.
And then we explored all those practical questions and considerations he offers, always trying to keep track of whether it was coming from his experience, my input, or directly from the Bible scripture's input.
We covered the importance the guide places on solid Bible teaching, real community, that mandate for love and service, especially toward the marginalized.
The need for real discipleship and growth, the call to witness, and that strong emphasis on the pastor's role, dedicated, present, focused on the local flock, informed by Mr. Averitt's military background.
And the other practical things, too, thinking about Sundays, home gatherings, financial transparency, and just being aware of what people are seeking today. It's a really layered approach for discernment.
Yeah. Grounding the search firmly in God's word, but adding that seasoned practical wisdom from a pretty unique life of service and observation.
And the big takeaway, the main encouragement from the guide, it seems really clear and comforting. Finding the right church home is a big deal, and it's a prayerful process.
It takes time, right? He encourages visiting different places, asking these deeper questions, and ultimately just trusting God to guide you. He wants you to find a place where you can flourish, be discipled, and use your gifts.
And there's that reality check, too. No church is perfect. They're all made up of imperfect people, leaders included. There will be bumps.
But the goal isn't perfection. It's finding a place that's genuinely striving to align with biblical principles, foster real community, teach God's word faithfully, and help people grow and serve. That's the healthy path.
So as we wrap up, maybe one final thought for you, the listener, to reflect on building on all this. That initial survey showed people often look for a church that meets their needs, good sermons, welcoming programs.
Right. But Chaplain David Averitt's guide, based on the Bible and his experience, really emphasizes joining a church where you can contribute and serve, where discipleship is key, where leadership is focused locally.
So the provocative thought is, how does the guide's perspective maybe challenge your expectations? Are you primarily looking for a place to be served? Or are you also looking for a place to actively serve with others, to be a contributing member of the body?
Shifting from maybe a consumer mindset to seeing yourself as a vital part of a spiritual family, using your gifts there.
Exactly.
And listen, if this whole discussion has resonated, if you're searching right now or you just feel like you could use some help, guidance, or even just prayer as you figure this out, Chaplain David Averitt and CA Jail Outreach genuinely want you to know you can reach out.
Yeah, they extend a direct invitation in the guide. If you'd like to connect with Chaplain David, talk more, or get help finding a church that lines up with these principles, please don't hesitate to contact them.
You can connect, find out more about their mission, see what they do, and definitely find help and prayer at their website. That's www.cajailoutreach.org.
Let's spell that out clearly. That's www.sdazailoutreach.org.
One more time, for help, prayer, or to explore their work, www.cajailoutreach.org.
We really hope this deep dive into Chaplain David Everett's guy has given you some valuable perspective, maybe some helpful tools as you navigate your own spiritual journey and that really important search for a church home.
Thanks for joining us on The Growth Journey. If you're ready to keep growing in faith, leadership, and life, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone on their own path. For more resources to connect with David Everett, visit cajailoutreach.org. Until next time, keep pursuing real life, real growth, and divinely inspired results.